Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, the Christmas edition. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course Wayne Ramo. What's up, everybody? What's up, Mac?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, happy pre-Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody listening.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
All right, we're going to lead off with a little football. You know, we're going to talk Jets football, little Giants as they're playing as we speak. We're gonna talk about the Cole and actually all the teams in New York right now are, you know, basically Cole's in the fan stocking. But of course we'll talk about the Knicks, the big blow to the Nets with the Brook Lopez injury. We'll also talk the latest in the hot stove news for both New York teams, Mets and Yankees, Dutchman coming to the other side of New York City with the Yankees, and of course, as usual, you know, we'll end off the show with a little sports entertainment, you know, talk what's going on, the latest news, you know, in WWE. But, of course, you know, folks, you know, feel free to call in. And, of course, let's lead off with the Jets, the J-E-T-S Jets.
Yeah.
And you know, the Jets had a great game today. They beat the Cleveland Browns by the final score, 24-13. Geno Smith, man, he was fabulous. He threw for 2 touchdowns. He rushed for a 17-yard touchdown. David Nelson received 2 touchdown receptions, and you know, too bad is too late, you know. And you broke the news to me off the air that apparently Rex Ryan apparently told his team, you know, in a team meeting that that he feels that, you know, he's going to be fired at the end of the season, which was really stunning. I mean, because, you know, Rex, you know, he always has that, you know, that bravado, you know, always that the defiant, you know, nature that, you know, he's always going to overcome any obstacles. And, you know, it's, you know, it's very surprising. I mean, obviously, you know, the Jets season, you know, is very, you know, horrible. I mean, they're a 7-10. So, I mean, it's not like, not 7-10.
Seven and eight.
Yeah. The season would have been over.
Yeah.
It would have been, the season would have been over with that. Well, actually it would have been a little bit over.
Maybe in a playoff.
16 games. Yeah. It would have been 16 games. Yeah. Cause, the bye week. But, yeah, I mean, it's good they got the win. Too little too late, but hopefully Geno Smith could build on it. And hopefully going forward next year, you know, Geno Smith won't make the same rookie mistakes plagued them this season. And, you know, Jets should look for, you know, a veteran quarterback to push him, because David Garrard, you know, obviously his career is done. I mean, he's a paper Jet. I mean, no disrespect to him. I mean, he was great with the, you know, the Jags. But, you know, basically, you know, he hasn't done anything with the Jets. So, you know, basically, you know, they don't believe in Sims. I mean, Sims hasn't really done anything for anybody to believe in his ability as of yet. But, you know, hopefully the Jets going forward, whether Rex is, you know, the head coach or not, you know, they're going to need a lot of moves, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very dark day in New York City sports, basically, even though obviously the Giants and Jets play in New Jersey. But, you know, they started in New York, so, you know, we always claim as our own. But what's your thoughts on the Jets?
Well, I mean, today they had a good game. They played really well against the Browns team. That's only 4-10. And, you know, they played Chris Ivory, you know, ran for 109 yards, 20 carries. And Geno Smith has won his best games of the season.
For
20 of 36, 214 yards. No interceptions today, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing I forgot to mention, yeah.
So this was one of the few games he didn't, you know, throw an interception. And he played really well. And, you know, the Jets won a game that they should have won, and they beat the Browns 24-13.
Yeah. I mean, we're not making the Browns out to be, you know, the Patriots or even, you know, Jim Brown's, you know, Cleveland Browns. But, you know, it's good to see them get a win.
Yeah, and as far as Rex Ryan, I mean, Rex Ryan's an honest guy, so he's always going to tell you what's on his mind. And, you know, it looks like this might be the end of his tenure as a coach of the Jets. You know, he's been the head coach for like what, 6 seasons or 6 seasons?
Seven
seasons.
I'd say close
like
to it. I'd say 5 probably.
Okay.
Because he coached ever since the season after after Favre. You know, the only season Favre was you know, with the Jets when you know, under Mangini's last season. I think this was 2008. So Rex Ryan's first season was 2009, if I'm not mistaken. So,
okay.
Yeah, he's been on the team for like 5 years. So,
okay.
So, you know, it's you know, sad. It would be a sad end to how, you know, so much, you know, promise he had. You know, his father, you know, was a defensive coach for the, you know, the only champion, the only Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl III team, of course, with, you know, Namath, you know. But, you know, he looked like he really, you know, he really tried to, you know, get the Jets to that next level. I mean, obviously the first 2 years to the AFC championship game, yeah. Obviously they lost both times. But, you know, it's like the tale of two cities, even though it's the same, you know, city, basically, same team. I mean, right. The first 2 years with Rex, I mean, you know, him and Sanchez, you know, they, you know, along with the veterans on the team, you know, they basically, you know, they had promise, but then these last couple of years, I mean, it's just gone downhill. I mean, the team, you know, as with every team, you know, once you're, you know, your star quarterback, you know, does well, your team's going to obviously do well. But, you know, Sanchez, I mean, these last 2 years, I mean, obviously not this year because the 2 years prior to this year, I mean, Sanchez has regressed horribly beyond words.
Yeah, and he might be another player that might be gone after this season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, he injured himself Game 3 against the Giants, and, you know, he's gone for the rest of the year. I mean, his career could be in jeopardy, you know, not to mention, you know, the injury and plus his ineffectiveness, you know, these last couple of years prior to this season.
Yeah.
But, you know, he does have, you know, I'm assuming, you know, a team will take a shot on him, you know, since he had success, you know, with the AFC his first 2 years. I mean, more than Tebow, you know, who had that great year, his former teammate from last year, who had that great year with the Broncos, had that nearly miraculous run, you know, in the regular season and beat the Patriots in the first round, but he hasn't found a job either. So it looks like they're going to be competing again, you know, for another team.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, a lot of teams are not, you know, as of right now, are interested with Tebow because, you know, his lack of a cannon of an arm.
Right. Yeah, Tebow, he hasn't played at all this year. He's been on vacation.
Yeah, because from last time I heard...
he's on a sabbatical.
from what I've heard, before the season started, you know, he only sees himself as a starting quarterback, you know, in the National Football League. So he's not willing to play another position as of right now.
Yeah.
And if you remember, in the off season, he signed with the Patriots to be a backup. But, you know, basically signing as a backup, you know, for Tom Brady is basically, you know, basically what David Garrard is doing right now. I mean, he hasn't played for the Jets. And with the Patriots, he's hardly going to play either. Well, actually, now that I think about it, it'd be basically last year's season with the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't do anything. So, I mean, they didn't give him a shot to really play. But, you know, we'll see what happened with those guys coming in the, you know, this off season. And,
yeah,
of course, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I said it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Idzik, you know, as we all expected, you know, this is his first year as the GM for the Jets. And as usual, you know, with lame duck coaches, which, you know, obviously Rex Ryan is, you know, they usually want to fire the coach and bring in a guy who they feel, you know, fits their system and their philosophy. So, I mean, it's as expected, you know, he's most likely going to be gone after next week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be interesting what goes on with the Jets. But shifting gears, let's talk your football Giants.
Well, right now, Giants are leading 13-10 in the third quarter against the Detroit Lions. Playing real well so far. Eli's throwing for he's 14 for 24 for 144 yards. Andre Brown has carried the ball 10 times. He's gotten 23 yards. And Jernigan has caught a touchdown pass from Eli Manning. And right now the Giants are keeping up with the Lions, who really need this game, or else they'll probably be eliminated from playoff contention. So Giants trying to play spoiler, since, you know, they themselves have been eliminated from the playoff race.
Right. Which is basically a familiar story for all the New York teams nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good luck with the Giants, even though, like the Jets, this win is not really going to do anything. You know, Giants are playing for pride. And, you know, Eli needs to redeem himself. I mean, this is arguably his worst season of his career.
Yeah.
And it was real surprising, you know, that, you know, this season, you know, that, you know, Eli has regressed so, you know, I mean, horribly.
Yeah, it's definitely is a bad season. I mean, next year he's going to have to look past the season and just play like he's supposed to play, you know. And this whole team will need to play better next year going forward.
Yeah. And Tom Coughlin, you know, he's close to being on the hot seat again. I mean, even though, you know, this guy's won 2 Super Bowl. Every time he's on the hot seat, what does he do? He wins a Super Bowl ring. So,
yeah, I think he's safe. I don't see him going anywhere unless he decides to retire.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely be there next year. I think if anything goes wrong, next year will be his last year. You know.
Yeah.
But I think he'll survive. Next season. But
right.
You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep us posted what's going on, you know, with the Giants.
Yep, definitely.
And man, let's just go. Let's talk about the 2,000 ton elephant in the room. And of course, you know, I'm talking about the Knicks, man.
Oh yeah.
I mean, what more can we say? I mean, Knicks are
always. There's nothing to say, really.
You know, basically all you have to do is take clips from my previous shows of this season about talking about the Knicks and put them together, and basically it's just the same thing. I'm just going to be repeating the same stuff over again. You know, they don't play defense. You know, they're 0-3 in matinee games, and you know they basically should have just stayed home, because you know they really didn't do anything against the Grizzlies, man. They got mauled by the Grizzlies. I mean,
they're playing horrible basketball, man. It's like every night now. And like I told you yesterday that I stopped watching after the third quarter because I knew they were going to lose that game.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, and then they go to their typical runs where, you know, you have to be really a bad team. In the fourth quarter, you go on a 9-0 run and you're still losing. I mean, what is that all about? They troll by at least what? What, 18 to 20 points yesterday? I mean, it's unacceptable.
Man,
I mean,
it's pathetic.
It is. I mean,
we have Chandler back now. I mean, maybe that'll help going forward. But you know, even with Chandler, we're still doing the same things that we were doing before when he was injured.
And even when before he was injured, you know, we weren't even playing that well. I mean, the first game, I mean, we were lucky to win that game. I mean,
mm-hmm.
We had like a 26-point lead, and we barely held on to it. And ever since then, we've only probably won what, 2 or 3 games at home all season.
Yep.
Who are we? We're 4-10, I think, at home.
I think so, man. Madison Square Garden is not home court advantage for us right now.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
it's the other team's advantage.
It is the other team's advantage. I mean, watching a game is disheartening now. I mean, you get excited in the first half, you know, they're dunking, you know, they're scoring, you know, they're shooting threes. And afterwards, once halftime comes, you know, it's like a totally different team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they're playing good. Imagine when they play bad, when they don't even show up for the first quarter, and then they get beaten by like 41 points. I mean,
what was
the last time Knicks won? Oh, yeah, I was about to say, when's the last time Knicks won a game? They won, what was it, Wednesday night when Bargnani almost gave that game away when we won the game in double overtime.
Oh yeah, when you shot that ill-advised 3-pointer.
Yes. Yeah, we were up. What was it? We were up like by 4 or something like that. I don't even remember.
I think before he shot the ball, Carmelo threw up a shot, right? Mm-hmm. Before he shot it.
I think so. And then once it went in, once he shot the ball, he you could see his reaction. He's like, my bad. Oh my goodness, man. This team, they don't know how to play basketball at all. I mean, it's like the same stuff we've been talking about this team for, like, I don't know, for like 12 years or so. I mean, the team, you know, when they're down a point or a tie game, they're trying to shoot a three with the last seconds. But when they're down by three points, they're trying to go inside to penetrate. I mean, team, hello. And another thing that aggravates me is that the lack of urgency. They lost the game. What game was that? Monday night, when Woodson didn't call a timeout. They had a foul to give. They let Udrich let some who was it? Bradley Beal. Was he on the Bucks? I think they let him. They let him score when they had a foul to give, and of course Knicks didn't foul him. And then what happens? Carmelo with Knicks trailing by one shot wins the game. One shot wins the game. Or you get fouled, you shoot free throws, you win the game. What did Knicks do? They walked. Woodson doesn't call the foul. Carmelo is walking with the ball. And then he takes this horrible desperation three-point attempt. And, of course, as you know, that was all she wrote for the Knicks.
Yep.
I mean, bad basketball.
Horrible.
If you're a college coach, I mean, you should just show your kids a Knicks game and says, you see what these professionals are doing? Do exactly the exact opposite of what these guys are doing.
This is how not to play.
Exactly. Show them the 73 Knicks, the 70 Knicks, the 90 Knicks, or any other Knicks team, you know, prior to the Don Chaney Knicks. And you'll basically have a hard playing Knicks team, a Knicks team that's worthy of wearing the Knicks uniform.
Oh yeah,
unlike these imposters. I guess last year was an illusion.
And they're still in the playoff.
I know,
because the whole East sucks.
Yeah, the Eastern Atlantic Division. I mean, everybody's horrible.
Horrible. The only two teams are good teams are Miami and Indiana. That's it.
Exactly. That's it. That's it.
Everyone else sucks.
I know not Boston. I think Boston's leading, or is it the Nets? I don't even remember.
I think it is Boston right now. Nets are, I think, they're one game better than us.
Yeah, but then again, everybody's better than us.
True.
but seriously, shifting gears to the Nets, a huge blow for Brook Lopez. He's out for the rest of the year again. I mean, stop me if you haven't heard that story again. I mean, that's the same thing happened last year. I mean, this guy keeps getting hurt. I mean, and he's like their top scorer. I think he's averaging like at least 20 points the season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's very fragile. He can't stay healthy.
Yeah. And the last couple of years,
it would be a great team if he stayed healthy all season. Him and Deron Williams, they get injured a lot.
Oh yeah, that's the problem. You know, you're resting on guys who are injury prone in Brook Lopez and Deron Williams, and then you got aging veterans. New veterans. Garnett and Pierce, who's trying to turn back the fountain of youth, basically.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for this horrible division, I mean, and the league, the Eastern Conference, man,
Knicks would not be in it.
Knicks and Nets wouldn't be in it. This would be the only year. I don't think anybody would mind if they just allowed two teams from the Eastern Conference to go to the playoffs.
Yep.
because this is the worst conference of all time in basketball.
Yeah, ever. I can't remember it being everyone under 500.
Under 500 like this. My goodness.
It's horrible.
It's downright horrible. But on a serious note, I feel bad for the Nets fans. You know, they had a lot of promise about, the team, the season being a, you know, their first ever championship year, and you know, their center went down again. So, you know, but what else can you say? But yeah, let's move over to MLB, where there's, you know, a lot more optimism than all the other sports in the city as of right now.
Right.
Yeah, let's talk about the Yankees. You know, they bring a familiar face, the former Met, Carlos Beltran. He signs a 3-year deal, and he was presented as a Yankee Friday afternoon. So, what's your thoughts on that? You know, they brought in a guy who has great postseason success and trying to make a name, you know, for himself.
I think he's gonna, you know, bring his veteran presence and his bat. I mean, this is a guy who could still hit home runs and drive in runs and still plays a good outfield. So, I mean, it's a good move. You know, I think he's a addition to the Yankee team.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely agree with you. You know, he's getting up there in age, but you know, he's still a clutch player, and you know, he grew up a Yankee fan. You know, looking up to Bernie Williams. For some reason, his name escaped me. And you know, so you know, he always wanted the opportunity, even back since 2005 when he signed with the Mets. You know, he confirmed that he was going to sign for less to go to the Yankees, but Yankees turned him down on what would have been Bernie Williams' last year of his career. So, you know, basically, you know, Mets signed him. You know, he had a good run with the Mets. You know, unfortunately, didn't win a championship, especially in 06. You know, so, you know, now he has the chance to, you know, redeem himself in the city. Well, actually, not really. I mean, he had a great Met career, but unfortunately for him, he didn't, you know, win a championship with the Mets. So now he has a shot to win a championship, the Yankees, if, you know, Yankees, you know, bounce back from their horrible season last year. Well, I shouldn't say horrible season, but they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
By Yankee standards, it's a horrible season.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely help us regroup this year and get back to, you know, that championship run that the Yankees go on every year. So hopefully, you know, as his teammate predicted, hopefully, him joining the Yankees will lead us to the promised land once again.
Yeah, and of course, his the teammate you're referring to is Adam Wainwright, which, you know, he has a lot of history with him.
Yeah.
You know, facing him and being a teammate, you know, all the years, you know, he's been in the league.
Yep.
Yeah, let's shift gear with the Mets. You know, Mets are, you know, they're still trying to trade Ike Davis, which, you know, I feel they should trade Lucas Duda instead. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, hey, let's see what Mets are going to do, you know, this. Oh, well, you know, Mets had a good offseason. You know, they brought in Granderson. You know, of course, he strikes out a lot, but, you know, he has experience in New York. You know, he should have a good year.
Yeah.
Colon, I mean, if healthy, you know, he should be a good pitcher, but, you know, he is 41 years old, and you're asking him. I mean, this guy had 3 good seasons, so, I mean, hopefully, you know, this year will be the charm. So, I mean, we shall see.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's shift gears to the what was I gonna say? To WWE tables, ladders, and chairs.
TLC.
Or what were you gonna say?
No, I was just saying TLC.
Yeah, the main event was, of course, John Cena versus John Cena, who was the WWE champion. He was the world heavyweight champion. Randy Orton, who was the current WWE champion. So basically, they fought in a tables, ladders, and chair ladder match to, unify the titles and to crown technically the first ever WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Even though we all know, back in 2001, Jericho became the undisputed champion when he won both previous belts. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
So, according to you, you know, it was a good match, you know. Well, tell us about it since you saw it.
Yeah, I was watching that, and I was watching Survivor at the same time last Sunday. And, yeah, that was probably the best match of the night, really. You know, they battled it out. Randy Orton won in the end. I was actually expecting John Cena to win.
Right.
But I was surprised when he won it. And he won it without interference from the McMahon family, surprisingly.
Yeah.
You know, he won it fair and square.
Yeah, which surprised everybody.
Yeah.
And Randy Orton is now a 12-time champion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he is now he is, you know, the champion of champions now.
Yeah.
And he lost a good match to Daniel Bryan because he purposely got himself disqualified, you know, via the low blow.
Yep.
On Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan on what was that, SmackDown or Raw, where he got attacked. He got thrown off, you know, like an area, like a, you know, a ledge type area, backstage. I mean, it's not a real ledge, but
was that Raw?
It might have been SmackDown.
Oh, okay, yeah, I don't remember now.
Yeah, well, in any case, Daniel Bryan got attacked, and you know, tomorrow is going to be this big Santa, Bad Santa, who's Damian Sandow, versus Good Santa, Mark Henry. And, you know, that's going to be a crappy episode because they're not going to – it's a taped episode, and, you know, they're not going to do anything shocking.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
And let's see, other news, Cody Rhodes and Goldust, they're now known as the Brotherhood. They're going to
sounds like the Ku Klux Klan.
So, yeah, it sounds like
the Brotherhood,
Assassin's Creed, you know, type of, I don't know, group or something.
Yeah.
Or the Wyatt family. That sounds like something like the Wyatt family would be called.
Yeah.
But in any case, what was I gonna say? Yeah, the Brotherhood, they won the title. I mean, they kept the title, so I should say, in a four-man tag team match. I think against the Usos, Real Americans, and what was the other group? Was it Primetime Players? I don't even remember. But in any case, you know, you should expect next season to see the Wyatt family, you know, minus the leader, Bray Wyatt, to capture the gold, the tag team gold.
Yep.
And, oh, yeah, there's rumors that Batista is going to return. Because apparently there's advertisement in February that he's going to show up in, I think, when they go to Las Vegas. So, keep our eye out for that.
Wow, that'd be great. I want to see if Batista still has it.
Yeah. You know, I think they're going to have, I'm just guessing. I assume it's going to be Ryback versus Batista, maybe, WrestleMania.
Wow, that would be something.
I don't think I've heard any rumors of that yet, but that's what I would assume. But
Ultimate Warrior versus Goldberg.
No, I don't think none of those guys are going to come out of retirement. I'm just saying,
Batista and Ryback are the copycat versions of those guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, Batista, I think, even admitted it. You know, he shakes the ropes.
Yeah.
You know, in tribute of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yep.
And what other match was there? Yeah, I think that's the only major. Oh, Big E, he retained the title. I think against Sandow, if I'm not mistaken.
It was
Intercontinental Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's basically it. I don't think anything else major happened. I mean, oh yeah, CM Punk defeated
The Shield.
Due to Roman Reigns spearing Dean Ambrose by accident instead of Punk, and Punk, you know, got the pinfall on Dean Ambrose, and which, you know, we predicted CM Punk would win, or I think I did,
yep.
And Daniel Bryan, he lost to the Wyatt family, and so basically Daniel Bryan is having a split feud between the Wyatt family and Orton. So I'm guessing maybe sooner or later, you know, Orton's going to be revealed as maybe a leader of the Wyatt family, and, you know, maybe that'll put the pieces together. Because he's fighting too. I mean, it just literally popped in my mind like a few seconds ago. Because, I mean, he's fighting, It's rare for somebody to fight two separate feuds at the same time.
That's true.
Because the Orton feud's been on the back burner, but ever since last Monday, the Monday before Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, they've kind of brought it back a little bit, you know, because the fans were cheering for him in his home state. Should be interesting Raw next week, not the one that's coming up tomorrow, but should be interesting what happens 2014.
Yeah, can't wait to see that.
Yeah, so you have anything you'd like to say?
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and check out my show iMac on Saturdays at 11. And this show on Sundays, as usual, on 6.
Alright, thank you very much. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and I'll see you. And, of course, thank the producer, as usual, and we'll see you guys next year, or I should say next week. Happy holidays. Thank you.